Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. We are broadcasting live from Charleston Wine and Food, Charleston, South Carolina. Woo-hoo! We're on Saturday, day two. Going well so far. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler. I'm the executive director of HRN. My co-host is Hannah Forden. She's our membership coordinator. Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you. It's my first time in Charleston.
Woo-hoo!
It's been great so far. Definitely better than the Nor'easter.
I know. Isn't this lucky?
Yeah, sorry, New York.
I'm like, sorry, not sorry. We're never coming back.
Yeah.
We're here today with our favorite Charlotte bartenders. You guys, I'm so happy to be sitting back down with you under this teepee in beautiful Charleston. Colleen, we're going to start with you. Colleen Hughes is a wearer of many hats. She's the head mixologist at Haberdish and also a cocktail creator for a number of other places in Charlotte, Crepe Cellar, Sea Level, Growler's Poorhouse. She's VP of the USBG Charlotte chapter. She is the 2016 Mixologist of the Year in Charlotte. All-around, all-star. She's one of the most innovative mixologists in the region. And we had the pleasure of speaking in Charlotte at a Haberdish. Thank you, Colleen, for coming on.
Thank you. You're making me sound way cooler than I am.
No, you are so cool. Yeah. Seriously, I didn't even begin to scratch the surface of your coolness. We are so glad to be sitting here with you. And then our other guest to my right is Bob Peters, head mixologist of the Punch Room in Charlotte. Actually, a Charlotte native. And Bob is one of the most special bartenders that we have had the pleasure of hanging out with.
Special.
He's so special, but in like the nice all way. We first met actually this time last year in Charleston the TP, which was just a little bit behind me last year.
1 year ago today.
1 year ago. It's our anniversary.
It is our anniversary. I got you something.
What'd you get me?
Some vodka.
Yes.
That's all a girl wants.
Should we? We might as well like kick it off, right?
Yeah, right. Here we go.
Well, Bob and Colleen, thank you
Cheers.
For being with us.
Happy anniversary, you guys.
Happy anniversary.
Cheers.
So, Bob, you're head mixologist at the Punch Room, which is located in the Ritz-Carlton in Charlotte.
Up on the 15th floor, that's right.
All the way up there on the tippy-tippy top.
Tip top.
And we also got to hang with you last year for Kat's birthday, which was so much fun. You made us beautiful drinks.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Kat, best birthday ever?
Thank you, Bob.
Kat just said, thank you, Bob. Best birthday ever for our listeners.
Okay, so let's start with what are you guys doing with the festival this weekend? I know you have some kind of crazy busy schedules. Tell us about what your weekend plans are looking like and what are some of the events you've got under your belts.
So I'm here representing the festival as top 40 for Charleston Wine and Food, which is they pull 40 food and bev people and promote them. And so I'm here as a part of the festival. And then our beautiful city of Charlotte, North Carolina, has a huge presence here with our Charlotte's Got a Lot booth. And we're really trying to promote the city of Charlotte. So we're also here repping our town, which I'm super down to do, which is awesome. So I've done, I did an event yesterday, which was Food in Focus, which is an amazing, how to photograph food and drink well.
Cool.
Tonight I'm working.
It's not easy.
It's not, but they had this incredible photographer. It was awesome. And tonight I'm working in the North Charleston Night Bazaar. I think
that's
Bob,
right.
Yeah, yep. Bob's doing that as well.
Awesome.
And then tomorrow I'm doing Kings on Queens Drag Brunch.
I'm going to be there, awesome. And I've been excited about this for, like, maybe 2 months.
I'm super jazzed. So I'm working that, and then I'm the last man standing at our Charlotte's Got a Lot booth.
Cool.
I'll be finishing up the festival with Charlotte, and I'm super excited about it.
Awesome.
And repping Doc Porter's Vodka, which is an amazing local Charlotte distillery.
Well, we're very glad to be neighbors with you as the festival is wrapping up. I'm sure we will be paying you a couple little visits trying to keep our energy up as we continue into our 15th hour of live broadcasting.
The Bedlam Vodka is going to help.
Oh my God, Bedlam Vodka, you
guys.
Shout
out to Bedlam.
Thank you so much. They have been hooking us up. You
North
know, when
Carolina.
We're here,
Southern hospitality.
We're here, you know, we're in the middle of a wine and food festival, but for those of us who are working, it is not that easy to get wine and food because we actually have to stay here. So we are really lucky that we've got some trays of Wisconsin cheese now that we're so happy and relieved to be eating. But, you know, we always, like, find our friends around the festival and we run over and we're like, please, please, please hook us up. We're starving. We're thirsty. So we'll be over to you for sure. Well, tell us about your cocktail menus for the North Charleston Night Bazaar.
So for the Night Bazaar, Charleston paired me with Toki, which is a Beam Suntory Japanese whiskey. And so I will be doing a sort of a Toki highball. It'll have San Pellegrino. I made a cold batch citrus shrub of grapefruits, cardamom, blood orange tea, limes. Cold batch that, or like cold syrup to that, and then mix that with Toki, a little bit of Scrappy's cardamom bitters, a little bit of Regan's orange bitters, and I'll be pouring it on draft out of a Randall, so it'll be doing a secondary infusion through the Randall right before we serve it, give it that extra pop of flavor.
Wow.
And so that should be exciting, and batch for 1,000.
It's going to be awesome. That infusion
That's
is something
intense.
That you do at Haberdish a lot, right?
Yeah, and I love when we get to use the Randall because it kind of saves me from having to garnish because you garnish to add that little pop of extra flavor. When it runs through the Randall, I don't have to worry about adding that extra little bit of fresh because it's going to run through it in the process. It's usually used in beer to secondary infuse beer with a different flavor. So we use it for cocktails so that we can add that fresh, like citrus pop to it without having to actually add citrus to every glass.
And is the Randall carbonating as it's dispensing as well, or
no,
is it already carbonated?
No, we're running it on CO2, and so that's carbonating it, and then it goes through the Randall, which gives it a last bit of chill, and then infuses it, and then it pours out of a tap.
Cool.
Yeah.
High tech.
Bob, what's your menu tonight?
I am doing what I'm going to call an Asian bazaar cocktail.
Bazaar with an
B-A-Z
I?
Bazaar Asian.
Or
yeah,
B-I-Z.
Yeah. B-A-Z-A-A-R. Bazaar. I got paired with Cathead Vodka, which I'm super excited about. I love those guys. So I'm doing Cathead Vodka, and then I'm going to make a shiso syrup, as well as I'm going to sneak a little North Carolina product in there. I brought some North Carolina apple cider from Charlotte with me from the Perry Low Farms in Wilkes County. And then I'm going to do some fresh shiso in there as well, and then a little drizzle of sesame seed oil.
Very cool.
I know. So super excited about that.
Well, I want to know, Colleen, what did you learn about photographing food and drinks? What are your secrets? Because I'm sure all of our listeners, you know, have their Instagrams out and are ready to take notes.
I think I learned, the one thing I learned was that you can't take a three-quarter angle with a cell phone camera. And I never really thought about it before, but, like, if you're angling sort of sideways and down, it doesn't work that well. You kind of have to shoot straight on or right over the top. Which I thought was funny because I guess I had noticed that before but never really put it together that sideways doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I think I really took away from it was having extra negative space in your picture. Like, you don't just have to have it be a picture of a drink. And then also giving it a sense of place, like trying to get a little bit of a window or a little bit of a chair or something to kind of ground you to. You're in a place, it's not just your drink. I thought those were really fascinating points. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And Bob, you are a champion Instagrammer. Tell us a little bit about how you take
it's
your cocktail photos.
It's @Bob_Peters on Instagram, @Bob_Peters.
Get your phones out.
Yeah. Do it. Follow.
No, truly, you will not be sorry for this. But do you have any advice for our cocktail photography amateurs?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times people sort of mistake their business Instagram for personal Instagram. So as much as I'm interested in what you had for dinner last night, sometimes I think that people can get a little bit more focused. Like hyper focused on the cocktails and what they're doing as far as business wise goes. I love your cat. You know, I love your cat. But I may not really like to see a picture of your cat when I'm actually looking on your Instagram to find something out about cocktails, you know. But that being said, I do love cats.
I do put my cats on my Instagram, but everybody needs to know about Mr. Nibbles. He is amazing.
I'm there with you, Colleen. I lose maybe 2 followers every time I post a picture of my cat, and I'm like, whatever.
There's a cat right there.
I like you anyway.
Do you see it? I hear it. There's the cat.
Where's the cat?
It's around here.
I think that's a baby at a,
it's a kitten.
Wine festival.
A sweet, sweet little kitten.
Well, you guys seem to have some artistic differences about your Instagram strategies, but I think you're both doing a really great job, and I think stick to what you do best already.
Well, Colleen is amazing, and I love her, and she is crushing it, so whatever she's doing, regardless of what I ever say, is working really well.
If you want to see pictures of Mr. Nibbles, you can go to @Colleen@ch.cocktails.
And I love Mr. Nibbles, too. I didn't mean to say that I didn't love Mr. Nibbles.
All the love for Mr. Nibbles.
So handsome.
So, guys, I want to talk about Charlotte, because Kat and I just went there. It was my first time down to the city, but it's really growing as a destination and really as a foodie destination that, you know, I think a lot of people might just be becoming aware of or might not be aware of yet. What are some trends that you're seeing in the city, both in the cocktail scene and the dining scene, that are drawing in new folks to the area or maybe getting locals to come out more and eat and drink in their neighborhoods?
I think for food-wise, I can't speak to it too much, but they built a Johnson & Wales in Charlotte maybe 10, 12 years ago, and so we are producing a lot more food talent.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely helped grow our city as far as like an eating town. Drinks-wise, we are an extremely liquor-controlled state, and we are starting to be able to work better with our state government on sort of sidelining the ways in which we get liquor, so we're able to procure more interesting stuff. And that's a very new thing. We come to a city like Charleston, you look at their back bars, and you're like, I can't get 3/4 of that. Now the ABC is finally really willing to work with us. Our state is willing to work with us and let us order more interesting product. But I think as a whole, Charlotte's bartenders really begin in the kitchen, because we've been so lacking in interesting product, and so we've all gotten really good at hand making everything, hand infusing everything. And
I'll totally agree with that.
We have to touch every ingredient, and any drink that you want to create, we have to think, okay, how do we want this to taste? And now I have to figure out how to go in the kitchen and make that flavor profile happen. And so you really do see the top Charlotte bartenders really are also cooks.
Right. And I would love to add to that by saying that that because we have such strict liquor laws, because it's so tough sometimes to get product, that gives us constraints, right? But out of constraints a lot of times comes creativity. So it's a blessing and a curse, I think. I would love to be able to have many, many things at my disposal at all times, but if I want something like really weird that I know is out there that I can't get easily, then we'll kind of make it.
You have to make it. And now with the advent of all the set of science equipment, I've really embraced like the more sciencey end of creating flavors, and you know, using centrifuges and using infusing under pressure and doing all those things, and it's really been great to have those extra tools to be able to pull off what we want to make.
Technique,
yay, science,
right? Technique is key, right? Technique is key, and that provides us with the ability to do things that we don't normally have around us.
The other side of that is that our drinks aren't recreatable. You can't go to Bob's Bar and ask him for a drink I made, and vice versa, because everything is made by hand by that person.
Right. That's a great point.
And so when you go to a bar in Charlotte, if we're making you something that's our own, it's our own, and nobody else is ever going to be able to.
Right, very, very unique. I agree. Yeah. That's an awesome point.
That's such a good point, and I think something that's a lot different from between Charlotte and, say, New York, because we do have a lot of creative bartenders, but they have access to a lot of the same ingredients, and we've got, you know, amazing bars that are using, you know, tons of different, like, Italian Amari, and they're making Amari cocktails, but you could, you know, conceivably get something similar because they do have these ingredients on hand, and I think what you guys are creating is so special. So kind of related to that note, Bob, obviously, coming from the punch room, you are a pretty much a punch, I want to say specialist, but that's not a special enough word for what you're doing. But Colleen, you also have created a bunch of large format drinks, and I wanted to talk to you about how the kind of large format drink option plays into beverage and drinking culture.
So, let me start. I think that it's really interesting. Large format things are super interesting for many reasons. One, because the big challenge is to keep things under control, right? So if you go too far, too fast, too hard, you lose control and you wreck, right? So the interesting part of big batch cocktails is still keeping things perfect. You know, and I love the chase and the pursuit of perfection, knowing that I'll never achieve it. You know, but it's the chase that's so much fun, right? So I like the idea of having a cocktail that maybe 5 gallons, you know, but also having, like, it tastes the exact same way as it does if you make one that's 3 ounces. I think that's super cool and interesting, and It also allows us to do things like serve quicker, you know, of course, large format cocktails. And so if you have a couple of those on hand, then I call those time cheats. I call them time cheats because time is so important to us that a couple of seconds here and there adds up over the course of the night, and that's where we really do things right. And so large format gives us challenges, and it also gives us benefits.
Yeah, I would definitely say it helps. We do all our punches on draft, which is super helpful, and it helps us really decompress our bars so that we can get weirder with our other stuff. But also, it kind of gives you that same, like, sense of sharing. You're sharing with somebody. You're ordering something for the group. You're going to communally enjoy it. It's like having a bottle of wine with dinner. It's like, we're going to share this.
Family-style dinner.
We're going to enjoy it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Oh,
sure. I wanted to ask you, I know, Bob, you have some low and no alcohol options on your menu. I don't know about you, Colleen, but it seems like there's a really big movement for making flavorful, satisfying, low or no alcohol cocktails. So what's your take on that?
I think, as we sit here shooting vodka the whole time, I definitely think that there is a big trend of mindfulness in drinking and recognizing that really, it doesn't take a lot to get those benefits that you want from drinking. You don't have to be drunk to have that relaxed feeling, that uplifted feeling, that I'm ready to embrace my evening. I think my favorite, we have a big aperitif section on our menu, and the best quote I got about that was, if a happy hour ends your day, an aperitif opens your evening. So you look at a low-gravity cocktail as getting ready to enjoy the rest of your day, not forget about what you did earlier. And I really love that.
Not erase your memory.
It's just having something light, having something low in alcohol that just helps you relax. And I try to lace sort of other ingredients in there that help lift the mood, lift the personality. Could be like, you know, thyme that helps relax, or sage that's a general, like, relaxant, or things that help stimulate your overall feeling of well-being without getting you housed.
It's the aperitif as self-care.
And I think the other side of that, too, is that there's a lot of people who really can't handle more than a glass or two of wine in an evening, and so you're giving them a cocktail option. You're giving them, like, you can have this beautiful crafted cocktail and still be all right.
Yeah, and another thing, like, when I come to your bar, I want to try everything. You know, and if we're doing, like, super boozy cocktails, like,
do
3 or 4, maybe. But I want to try the rest of the stuff. You know, I want to see the super cool things that you're doing. So when I have a couple lows in there, a couple low alcohol contents, then I can sort of stretch out my evening and try several more drinks that she's done, you know, like, and that to me is super important. I call the low alcohol content cocktails, I call them speed bumps.
Uh-huh. I like that.
Yeah, because you're not stopping, but you do have to slow down a little bit.
I think for me, if I'm out.
Hey!
Awesome. David Tatasciore, everyone.
I'm a big, when I'm out and I'm out in a heavy drinking environment, I'll order a Pimm's cup. Low alcohol, mm-hmm. Everybody can make it. And it really just, you're still drinking in theory, but not tons.
Cheers.
Well, and cheers. Cheers. We do our last cheers.
And now we're going to sip some straight vodka. Thank you, Bedlam.
It is wine and food.
It happens.
I mean, well, this is so much fun. I'm so, so glad to have you guys here with us. And as we are sort of, we're like at the midpoint of the festival, is there anything in Charleston that you want to make sure that people are heading out to, checking out? Any booths at the festival that you've been able to see so far?
Yeah, the Charlotte
booth.
Charlotte has a massive presence in Charleston. Charlotte really wants to bring people to our city. 50 people a day move to Charlotte. That is a fact. And it has been like that for 5 years. Charlotte is growing.
It's exploding.
And so Charlotte's really now sort of reaching out and saying, hey, we're an international city. Like, everybody's moving to Charlotte. Yep. Bob's a unicorn. Like, there are hardly any native Charlatans in Charlotte.
It's crazy. And you know what? Like, the culinary scene and the drink scene has just, it's exploded. And eventually we'll get to the point where everybody in the national media recognizes that. But at this point, we still get skipped over a little bit. And we're okay with that for now.
Mm-hmm. That's what HRN is here for.
It's inevitable, right? Mm-hmm. It's inevitable that people are going to sit up and recognize Charlotte. And that's, you know, that's one of the big things, is that Charlotte does have a lot. And there's a lot of beautiful reasons why you should come to Charlotte and try our food and our drinks and come and hang out with
beautiful.
Our city.
People don't realize how beautiful the city of Charlotte is. They made a law that if you're going to build a fancy building, you have to put a public space and art in front of it. So when you walk through the streets of Charlotte, there's just tons of public art everywhere. Yeah. And nobody really thinks about it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Charlotte's amazing.
I love it.
Cheers to Charlotte.
Cheers to Charlotte. Cheers to you guys. You guys are doing so much for the city. Cheers.
Cheers.
And,
cheers.
I'm so glad with this interview, we've learned some amazing things from you guys about how Charlotte bartenders have to be super creative, how they have to be cooks in the kitchen, how Charlotte is really a destination. I can vouch for Charlotte as a foodie destination. And I think both of you are absolute trailblazers in the cocktail industry.
Thank you.
And I'm so, so glad to have you back on Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Bob Peters.
It's so good to see you guys again.
Thanks, Colleen. Bob Peters is the head mixologist at the Punch Room at the Ritz-Carlton in Charlotte. Colleen Hughes is head mixologist at Haverdish. And both of them are just absolute rock stars. Thanks, guys, for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'm ready to book my ticket to Charlotte.
I'm ready to go back anytime you want to go. It's a date.
It's a date.
We'll be there.
You have to come.
So you've been listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're on tour live from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. Want to give a quick shout out and huge thank you to our sponsors, Springer Mountain Farms Chicken, Big Green Egg, the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts, as well as Wisconsin Cheese, and of course, the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. Thank you all for being here. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're actually going to revive our broadcast over at the campfire on the other side of this barricade. We're going to have Eli Sussman chatting with Chef Edgar Penley from Nashville. It's going to be great, and there's going to be some awesome chicken. So we'll be back in just a few, and thanks for tuning in.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, y'all.